The Turnbull government has recruited some of the country's top business leaders to try and convince its own backbench of the merits of the National Energy Guarantee. Executives from BHP and BlueScope Steel will be among the corporate heavyweights to address MPs this morning amid rising tensions within the coalition about the NEG. The Nationals, who met separately last night, will be demanding, we're told, additional measures to drive investment in baseload sources, which could include new coal-fired power stations. The Energy Minister, Josh Frydenberg, joins us from Parliament House. Good morning to you.
Nice to be with you, Hamish.
You've organised for these business leaders to address MPs. Does this mean you have failed to convince your own colleagues that the National Energy Guarantee is, in fact, the right policy?
Well, the National Energy Guarantee is certainly the right policy for Australia. It's been put together by the experts. It has the backing of business. It has the support of states. And there is independent modelling showing that prices will fall under the guarantee and reliability will increase. I think it's really important today that we've got the senior representatives from the manufacturing, mining, farming, business and industry sectors here in Parliament. They represent more than 5 million workers, more than 150,000 businesses. They have high energy bills. They understand the sector. They've done their own modelling and they believe the National Energy Guarantee is the best way forward for Australia. So if we can't listen to these representatives now after more than a decade of missteps in energy policy, my question is, when can we?
But if everything you say is true about the strengths of this policy, and if indeed this policy will end a decade of deadlock, why do you need these folk to make the case? Why can't you convince your colleagues already?
Well, my colleagues do support the National Energy Guarantee. We've seen many of them come out publicly in recent days.
Well, there's a few of them seem to be pretty cautious.
Well, there are a small number who have raised issues, and I'm working through with them those particular issues, explaining to them how the guarantee will increase the reliability, will put the obligation on the retailer, and how will significantly decrease price. What's important to understand about the guarantee is that it has an all-of-the-above strategy. It's technology neutral. It involves no taxes, no subsidies, no trading schemes. In that sense, it's a real break from the past. And importantly, it has the ability to break the impasse that we've seen in climate and energy policy, which has bedeviled the Parliament for more than a decade.
It is being reported this morning, you will have seen these reports yourself, that you're willing to introduce more dispatchable power to the NEG, either through gas or new coal. That would obviously appease some of your Conservative colleagues by locking in supplies of fossil fuels. Can you tell us one way or the other, are you willing to look at that?
Well, my focus is on delivering the National Energy Guarantee through
sure.
the
state.
Sure, but
let's just address these reports in the papers this morning, because that's what all of these politicians will be reading before they go into these meetings today.
Well, the focus is the National Energy Guarantee as designed by the Energy Security Board with these two obligations on the retailers. What my colleagues want to see is the lowest possible prices, and that's understandable given the pressure that households and businesses are facing with their energy bills. So we will do everything possible to reduce people's prices and increase the reliability.
Including an add-on to this policy that would see government subsidise the building of a new coal-fired power station?
Well, we have said the government's not building a new coal-fired power station. We've been pretty consistent with that.
Would you subsidise someone else doing that?
Well, we are in the business of ensuring that the market works. I mean, currently the market is not working as well as it should. And as I said to the press club just a few months ago, Australia will require some $250 billion worth of infrastructure investment in the energy sector in the coming decades. And government can't provide that sort of money. It can only come from the private sector. So we need the right investment signal. We need to dispel some of the myths in the energy system, like, for example, that we can decarbonise overnight and close down our coal-fired power stations. At the same time, we are working in a carbon-constrained environment where financiers are taking into account those issues when they're making decisions as to which generators to fund and to build, and that is why we believe the National Energy Guarantee is the best way forward.
But Minister, could we get a straight answer to that question? It's pretty simple. Will the government rule out subsidising the construction of any new coal-fired power stations or paying to keep existing ones open that the corporates don't see a future in?
Well, what I've said consistently on this, Hamish, is that the best chance for existing coal-fired power stations, and indeed for new ones to be built, is to get the investment framework right, which the National Energy Guarantee provides. And what I will be working with my colleagues on, and obviously with the states, is the National Energy Guarantee as designed by the Energy Security
Board. But what does that mean in real terms, that the government would have a role in that or not?
Well, our focus is getting the market to work. That's our absolute focus. And when you get that market working, you will get the investment in generation assets, including thermal generation assets, be they coal or gas.
Does that mean, though, that you think that if the investment framework is right, that some corporations will see value in investing in coal?
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I think we've seen the market operator say how important our existing baseload capacity is. And if you look over the last summer, Hamish, the 17 most significant generators in terms of output out of the top 20 were coal. The other three were gas and one was was hydro. So coal is absolutely critical.
Okay, but if the answer to that is absolutely that you think that private corporations will see the benefit in doing this, you must be happy then to rule out any government involvement in subsidising such things.
Well, my focus is on taking subsidies out of the system. That's where the National Energy Guarantee is a break.
So you can rule out any subsidies for coal-fired power stations in the future?
Hamish, my key message to you and your listeners is that with the National Energy Guarantee, we have removed the subsidies, removed any consideration of taxes or trading schemes. We have a technology-neutral approach, and we see all of the above being important in Australia's generation mix, including coal, gas, and of course an increasing role for renewables.
But Minister, I think we can all hear your caution in answering that question directly. I've asked it a few times now. Can you rule out that the government would subsidise any new coal-fired power stations or keeping any open?
Well, I've made it very clear that we're not in the business of building new coal-fired power stations, but if we get the market working, Hamish, then you've got the best possible chance of sending the signal to those companies that decide what they want to build. And if you look at coal-fired power stations in the past, they've tended to have a 50 to 60 year lifespan. That's moved through the various political cycles. In the life of Hazelwood, it saw 14 different prime ministers. And what the builders of these new generation plants want to see is a stable investment framework, which the National Energy Guarantee will supply.
There are two key objectives for the NEG: reliability of supply, but also a 26% cut in emissions. If there is a role for coal going forward, won't that make it harder to achieve the carbon reduction target?
Well, the 26% effectively is the target, and that will be met under the National Energy Guarantee. And so what will happen is that the retailers will adjust their portfolio of assets between both renewable generation and thermal generation in order to meet their share of that target. And so by establishing that we have a 26% target, we'll enable that to be met, but we'll do it without preferencing one technology over another.
The other people you have to convince beyond your own party are the Labor states and territories. Some of them, are critical of this 26% reduction target, pointing to it as woefully inadequate. For many, this is actually worse than a business-as-usual approach, because it will allow those states that are not doing much in this space to freeload off states like Victoria and Queensland, which already have ambitious renewable energy targets. Do you see that point of view? Do you accept that this is not a particularly ambitious target?
Well, it is an ambitious target. What Australia took to Paris.
But if some states don't effectively have to do much, but if some states don't have to do much because others are doing more, it doesn't look all that ambitious.
Well, all states are taking action in one way or another to move towards cleaner and cheaper power. But you can't have one state saying that it can dictate to its own citizens what its own renewable targets are, and then saying to another state, well, you're not allowed to dictate to your citizens what your particular target is. The state-based targets will sit side by side with the federal target. They'll contribute to the overall federal target. They won't be additional to it. But Australia's commitment is significant at 26 to 28%. And the electricity sector is around 30 to 35% of our overall emissions. So it needs to do its part.
We'll be speaking to Craig Kelly later this morning. He's one of the government's most vocal opponents of the NEG. He wants emissions reduction targets back-ended until later years. Would you look at that in the spirit of compromise?
Well, I've made it very clear that we do have a carbon budget approach. That was what was signed up to Tony Abbott, and the most cost-effective way of meeting that end goal is through having a trajectory which is consistent through that period from 2020
to 2030. Okay, so no back-ending.
Well, there is always a little bit of flexibility as proposed by the Energy Security Board to underachieve by 10% for any particular year, but then to make it up. But that will ensure the lowest cost of compliance while we meet our end goal.
Josh Frydenberg, thank you as always.
Great to be with you.
Energy and Environment Minister Josh Frydenberg there. After 7:30 this morning, Craig Kelly will be my guest.